The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the questions keep pouring in. A question from Dennis in Michigan. Before we go to your calls in just a moment, how does one oppose same-sex marriage in the culture and at the same time keep Paul's edict in 1 Corinthians 5:12 to not judge those outside of the church? And remember, this is not, in answer to the question, a matter of judgment. It is a matter of doing what we are called to do. That is, we are called to be salt and light, which is to say, as Jesus put it, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We should, in the public square, be able to be transforming agents of the culture. Unfortunately, all too often we become cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators. Marriage is a public institution with public consequences, and if it were not, no one would be clamoring for same-sex marriage to be legally sanctioned. The reason we're having the debate in the first place is because, by definition, it's about public recognition and approval, not private vows. An article in God's Design for Sex, or I might say better, a chapter in this incredible resource by Jay Richards, deals with this very subject. And one of the points that he makes is that a just and limited state simply recognizes and protects what already exists. Marriage transcends every political system. It's based on human nature. And it's not merely a social convention that we're free to change once progressives capture the Supreme Court or the Congress. Rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God. And the moment you begin to deny that, then you deny the basis of all other rights as well. So remember, we're not judging the culture, but we're making right judgments. What Jesus said about judgment is also, I think, instructive. He said we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically, but that is not to say we shouldn't judge. Jesus makes clear we should judge. When we judge, we should make a right judgment. And if we abdicate our responsibilities in culture and we give the public debate over to those who deny the value of traditional marriage, the culture indeed will suffer the consequences. And as those who are stewards of the culture, we ought to exercise the very rights and privileges that we have been given by Almighty God. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Vanessa. She's listening in Modesto, California on Bot Radio. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Hank. I'm sorry, I don't have my Bible right in front of me, but I believe in Matthew, Jesus was talking about when he comes again, the women who will be grinding away, one will be taken, and the men in the field, you know, one will be taken and one will be left. Can you explain this to me and expand it on this? Because I'm having a hard time understanding what he's meaning.
Yeah. Well, first of all, very good. What a wonderful paraphrase. Without your Bible in front of you, you did well, and you are to be commended for that. Remember the context, however, in Matthew chapter 24 deals with Jesus Christ when he makes a prophecy about Jerusalem and the temple, he's leaving the temple, he's walking away, and his disciples begin to draw his attention to the glory of the temple, the glistening gold and the luminous limestone. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then, of course, the disciples really have their interest peaked, and they want to know, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming judgment and the end of the age of sacrifice? In other words, when is this temple in Jerusalem going to be destroyed? And then Jesus lets them know that all of these things are going to happen within a generation. And of course, his prophecy was marvelously fulfilled. But in the context of this, Jesus goes on to say the very thing that you paraphrased. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That, says Jesus, is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. So in the coming judgment, there are going to be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other will be left. So Jesus is saying in the coming judgment, in the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, here's what you're going to see happen. The same thing that happened the days of Noah. Noah was prophesying about the coming judgment as well. But a lot of people didn't want to listen to that, and therefore they're taken away in judgment. The same thing's going to happen right here. People are going to be taken away in judgment. In other words, they're going to be destroyed because they are not hearing the Master as he is prophesying what is going to happen in those days. So the taken away, some people have said, and it's quite humorous that this has to do with rapture or something like that, but obviously the context is talking about judgment.
Okay, great. That makes perfect sense to me, and I appreciate your explanation because that really kind of stumped me for the longest time, and I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Vanessa. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shannon. She's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Shannon.
Hi there. It's actually a guy. Just phoning in regards to, I was having a conversation today with students in my class, and we were talking about the differences between, say, the, like I heard a caller mention it again earlier, the essentials in Christianity, or in class we were calling it kind of the big rocks of Christianity,
yeah,
as opposed to, say, some secondary issues, if you will. And anyway, so we ended up on the conversation. These were grade 10 students. And we ended up on the conversation of Trinity and triune God and how this is a big rock in Christianity. But the kids asked a question that was amazing. And the question that they had that I want to ask is, when we get to heaven, will we see Jesus the Son and God the Father, in that are they two separate entities when we get to heaven? The idea of Jesus being an intercessor between God and men and those sorts of things.
Well, the mystery of the Trinity is that there is one God alone. So we are fiercely monotheistic. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in only one God. But we believe in personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, and so it will forever be. We also believe that Jesus Christ in the incarnation took on an additional nature. He took on a human nature. So he's one person with two natures, 100% divine and 100% human. Because he is forever theanthropos, God in flesh, certainly we will see him physically. But we will also see the Spirit. We will also see the Father. Why and how? Because see is a metaphor for know. And that is the very thing that we will have as a grand and glorious gift from God, the fullness of knowing God, to know God in his effulgence and his beauty and his glory, is something that we can attain to only in part in our present condition. But then when the Imago Dei, the image of God, is fully restored, we will be able to know him just as we are fully known. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to to Terrell. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Terrell.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about the signs of the end days when Jesus said in, I think it was in Luke, and he said that there will be, Jesus said that there will be mother against daughter and, you know, and so on, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and that there will be nation against nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be all kinds of disasters happening, you know, certain places that, you know, they wouldn't usually happen in. And I'm saying, would you agree with me that that those days are now at hand?
No, of course I wouldn't, because the text is not talking about that. The text is very clearly in context talking about what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem. And certainly the day of the Lord or Christ coming in judgment then.
I was really referring to the war in the Syrians and all that. You think that's the start of the Armageddon?
No, not at all, because the Bible has nothing to do with what's going on in the present, except recognizing that all of the Bible is written for us, but none of it is written to us. And so the prophecies that people point to with respect to Isaiah's prophecies, like Isaiah 17 or Isaiah 7 and 8, have nothing whatsoever to do with the present time. They're actually fulfilled, and the fulfillment is clearly communicated in the Bible such that you can read about it in 2 Kings. So the notion that this has to do with the modern epic is simply misguided. We'll go right back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Charles. He's listening in Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi, Charles.
Hello. I had a question for you that my pastor and I were discussing during Bible study, and that is, can the devil read our minds?
No, the devil can't read our minds. He can, as it were, influence our thoughts. He does sit on our shoulder, using metaphorical language, and whisper into our ears. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it does impact the ear of the mind, so to speak. So there's mind-to-mind communication, and that's why, in fact, we are told to put on the full armor of God so that we can resist the evil one and his ploys.
But he can tempt you to sin just talking to you?
Well, he can tempt you, yes. And we don't know whether that temptation comes from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And I don't know that it is our prerogative or place to try to figure out where the temptation is coming from. The reality is we should prepare ourselves for that temptation by putting on the full armor of God. And this is precisely what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Well, I thought these were external temptations. He said, no, he can put it in your mind.
Well, they are temptations that come from without. In other words, the devil can tempt us, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is one of the things emphasized by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
I know the shield and the helmet, and the sword. But what I was talking about is, can the devil tempt you through just talking to your mind?
Yes, he can tempt you through mind-to-mind communication. We don't know precisely how that works, but we do know that he can tempt us through mind-to-mind communication. We don't even know how the mind can cause the physical synapses of the brain to fire, but we know that the mind does, in the same way we know we can be tempted in this way by the evil one, and that's why we are called to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and that we are to fit our feet with the gospel of peace, that we are to take up the shield of faith, and as you've pointed out, the helmet of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are to pray at all times in the Spirit, and so forth. So the covering which we are given, or the full armor of God which we are given in Ephesians chapter 6, is so that we can stand against the ploys of the evil one, but also so that we can stand in the face of the world and the flesh as well.
Well, I just felt like God has the power to read our heart and our mind and knows our thoughts, and I just couldn't see him passing that to an angel or the devil.
Well, bingo, you're absolutely correct, and that's a very good insight on your part. It's completely biblical, and I would agree with it 100%, because we are to test all our thoughts in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. So if you test what you just said in light of Scripture, I think you'll find that it is absolutely true. Well done, well said. We are coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That, of course, translates to 888-275-4265. And as we go to break, do remember, everything I talk about, you can usually find a resource on the web that will give you further and fuller information. Check it out at equip.org. Be right back.
When you hear the word sex, what do you think of? How about the Bible? If you don't, then you should. And the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, shows you why. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this important book as our gift to thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. To request your copy, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man returns right after this. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Despite the abysmally poor track record of doomsday prophets, a growing movement emphasizing survival and preparedness in the face of anticipated widespread catastrophe has begun to garner mainstream attention. How should Christians respond to those who take prepping seriously? Are there theological ramifications? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and Matthew 24, New Light or New Hermeneutic? Is soul sleep biblical? Facing the Islamic Challenge, field-tested responses to 5 Muslim objections, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book
to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. Because Western apologetics has placed far more emphasis on atheism than it has on Islam, many Christians know little about Islam and do not feel equipped to engage Muslims in dialogue. But be encouraged. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal will show that defending the gospel against Muslim objections is a rather easy skill to develop. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now with more answers, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ronnie listening in Garland, Texas. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Just a quick question, and I'd also like to comment right quick on what you were talking about earlier, right before you come back on the phone. I think one of the things that, the reason a Christian wants to judge a lot of times is because when we read the Bible and we have the Holy Spirit and we know the Bible is the truth. So that's why we want to, tell other people the truth, because we know it's the truth. With that being said, I just would like to ask you, I've got a copy of the NIV Bible, and I've just about read it all. I understand the kind of language in this Bible. What kind of a Bible would you suggest me to read second time around? Where I could understand it also.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do well with the NIV. It's a very, very good translation. It's typically referred to as a dynamic equivalency, which means that it's a thought-for-thought translation, and it accurately, therefore, represents what's going on in the original languages and then brings it in a very readable sense into the receptor language, English. So I've appreciated the NIV and used it quite prolifically in terms of my own memory. So
yeah,
over the years,
when I was a kid, the Bible that was basically kind of in the same version was the Living Bible.
Well, yeah,
and
No, the Living Bible is really not a translation; it is a paraphrase. So sometimes it goes beyond the range of meanings that is allowable from one language, or the original languages in this case, to the receptor language, and so it is, I think, more rightly called a paraphrase as opposed to a translation.
Okay. But like I said, with that being said, what kind of other Bible would you suggest that I read the second time? Now, I'm not that much of a reader. I haven't been, but when it come to the Bible, it was different. I don't read a Bible like the book. I read the Bible because I have the Holy Spirit, and it comes to me a lot easier now.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful to hear, and it's so great that you are doing something that a lot of people today aren't doing, which is they carry Bibles, but they simply don't read them anymore. So wonderful that you have a passion for doing that. But look, I like the New King James Version of the Bible a lot as well. In fact, I have a legacy study Bible in New King James Version, which we oftentimes offer through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So I like the retaining of the majesty of the King James language, but then the connotative words that have taken on the barnacles of time are given in language that we can understand in our time.
Okay. New King James Version, okay. One more thing before I let you go. The time that I have to read my Bible, it could never be at home or anything, because there was always something distracting me. I drive a truck out here on the road, and whenever I get up in the morning, I'm in a bunk, and it's just nice and quiet wherever I'm at, and that's the way I can concentrate on this Bible. I have no distractions whatsoever.
Well, that's just wonderful. I hope a lot of people listening to your words will take a page out of your life and apply it in their own.
It's helped me. It's helped me tremendously, you know, and maybe it's only 30 minutes to 40 minutes every morning, but at least I'm understanding the knowledge of the Bible and the Word of God. And I think that's what's just really helped me the most the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, and what you're getting is not only truth. Of course, the Word of God is truth, but you're also getting life, because when you do this, you are brought into the presence of the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Appreciate your call, Ronnie. And as I mentioned to Ronnie, we have a legacy reading plan. It's actually an innovative approach that I developed to reading through God's 66 love letters, one book at a time for the rest of your life. The format is especially formulated to make your time in God's Word the best it can be. I think you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me for a copy. The Legacy Reading Plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. The goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole. And I think as you do so, it is essential to read through the books rather than bits, but it's also helpful to read biblical authors sequentially. As such, the Legacy Reading Plan is grouped by author. And this is particularly helpful because even though biblical authors wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, their personalities and proclivities are clearly evident in their writings. For example, John, and John alone identifies Jesus as the Word, or Logos, and likewise John alone identifies Jesus as the true witness, and it is John who most exploits the Mosaic requirement of two witnesses. The overarching objective, however, of the Legacy Reading Plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. And the reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons, and the seasons then into months. So at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter you'll focus on the Pentateuch and poetry, and in the spring the historical books, in the summer the prophets, and during the fall the New Testament. And then each season is further broken down into months. And therefore every January your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are times that you will naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and others when you will read one or two, but more importantly, you'll read the Bible just as you read other literature. Again, the Legacy Reading Plan, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It is also accompanied, if you want to order it, with a Legacy Bible. And again, that Legacy Bible, I did the introductions for every book of the Bible in the Legacy Study Bible. It has wide margins, so you can take your own notes as you listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast or sermons. So again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Lynn. Lynn is listening in Tallahassee, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. My question is, I lost a dear, dear pet, and I know a lot of people have pets and they love them at different levels. This was an incredibly special gift in our lives, and a rescue dog just a couple of years ago, and she meant so much to me, and to the point where she came along at a point where I needed her desperately because of the stress level that I'd been through, and all she brought was joy and light, and I knew she was, you know, sent from God, and I was more grateful for her than anything else in my life, and I thanked God hundreds and hundreds of times over the last couple of years, and she was tragically taken from me a few weeks ago in a tragic accident, and I had to watch her die slowly, and it was so premature and tragic, I guess, and I know we're living in a fallen world. I know that bad things happen. But this was so strategic as far as the had I lost my husband, that would have been the only worst thing that could have happened to me. And he felt the same way about her as I did, because she was that special. And I know we don't have time to go into explain, you know, what made her so special, but it's almost like she was a more of a human than a dog. But so it's a very tragic thing that's happened in my life, and I just, it's completely blindsided me. And I know that all things happen, you know, ultimately for the good of all of us who love God and who are called according to His purpose. I understand that. So, of course, for the life of me, I can't understand how it's going to work out for my good. But does, I know bad things happen, but do you think that God allowed this to happen for a particular reason, or it's just a part of just bad things happening? Because, again, the only worst thing that could have happened to me was as if my husband would have been taken.
Yeah, well, I am really sorry for your loss, and I can certainly identify with you, even if vicariously through my wife and through my kids, because we are animal lovers as well. And when one of our pets dies, and we have lots of cats and a dog, but when one of our beloved pets dies, and it's happened a number of times in the course of time, it is a very tragic and traumatic experience. So in some sense, I can identify with it. But here's the point, Lynn. I think that we can't answer the question why. And I think it's presumptuous to try to do so. And certainly presumptuous for me to try to say why this happened in your life in particular. If you read the book of Job, the one thing you get at the end of the day is a recognition that God oftentimes never answers the why question. He does something else. He teaches you to trust Him in the midst of your whys, which is to say, He's revealed enough about His character, His nature, that we know He is trustworthy, and therefore we have to hold our pets, our children with open hands so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit, and ultimately trust Him. And as you've correctly said, recognize afresh that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. We don't always know how, and eternity will reveal what we do not know at the present. The other thing, however, is that eternity may well be the reconciliation between you and your beloved pet, because in a Christian worldview, there's nothing that precludes the notion that petted pets are going to be with us again in the new heavens and the new earth.
Well, and I'm certainly looking forward to that, and I've chosen just as some relief for myself, without knowing for sure, but I knew that I didn't know of a scripture that told me that it wasn't so, that we would not meet our pets in heaven.
Yeah, I think it would seem incredible in the extreme to imagine that God would banish such wonders in paradise restored. If God resurrected our pets, I think it would be in total keeping with His overwhelming grace and goodness.
That's exactly as I see it. Now, the part that I didn't mention that made this a little harder to, I think, fathom is my husband actually ran over her. And, of course, it was a tragic accident, and one you just wouldn't imagine how it happened, but it just happened. And of course, he's devastated as well, because he saw how special she was. He has an older dog that he loves dearly, but he realized the difference that this dog was like just sent from heaven to us.
Well, again, this is a tragic circumstance, but God can bring good out of it. Indeed, not only can, but will. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but what it does give us is something far greater, a way to overcome them through the hope of resurrection and through the incredible relationship we can have with God in the present. Be right back.
When it comes to sex, Hollywood can't hold a candle to the Bible. After all, God intended sex. So why not read about it in His Word? God's Design for Sex helps you do that, and Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this powerful new CRI publication. It's our thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important book when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because Western apologetics has placed far more emphasis on atheism than it has on Islam, many Christians know little about Islam and do not feel equipped to engage Muslims in dialogue. It should be encouraging, however, that successfully defending the gospel against Muslim objections is a rather easy skill to develop. Other topics include thoughts on Jason Collins' homosexuality and athletes, the great debate about English Bible versions, the original Fight Club, understanding the philosophy of Karl Marx, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. These are chapters in God's Design for Sex, an important new CRI book Hank Hanegraaff wants you to read. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call or go online to request your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have a brand new item we want to put into your hands for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And again, you can support the ministry, contact the ministry, or get the resource that I want to put into your hands this month from the ministry by simply contacting us on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by picking up the telephone and talking to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. What I want to put into your hands is a new book designed by the Christian Research Institute based on articles from the Christian Research Journal. on God's design for sex. You might want to know why I'm devoting this resource and this time to the subject of sex. The truth is that the biblical reality concerning sexuality is not gratuitous. The rhetoric about sex in the public milieu is damaging to women, to children, to men, to families, and the social impact of the redefinition of marriage, particularly on women and children, is singularly draconian. And that's why you and I must be equipped with the truth about sex. This is not about thumping our Bibles. This is not about condemning others. But it's all about understanding what God says about this vital subject, so that you and I can compassionately, respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex to those that we influence, family members, friends, children. And the reason is so that their joy and our joy might indeed be complete. Being a voice of truth in a wilderness of our culture is what the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast do each and every day of the year, but only through the support of friends like you. And that's why I'm so profoundly grateful for your financial support. You play a vital role that allows us to equip others with truth so that their joy in Christ may be complete. So as you support the ministry this month, please be generous and recognize that I'm putting a strategic tool into your hands, a tool that you will want to reference over and over again in the years ahead. Never forget that we are partakers of the divine nature, the glowing embers from the eternal life of God have been deposited into our being such that the Spirit of God Almighty dwells within our very being. And thus, we must with great care and with great diligence guard our bodies. Why? Because they're living stones in the eternal temple of God. Paul put it this way, we must glorify God in our bodies. The most profound meaning of sexual union signifies Christ's marriage to his bride, the church. All sex, therefore, is subordinate to the ultimate end of glorifying God. Sex between a man and a woman is a parable of the relationship of the Creator to the crowning jewels of His creation. And we can curse the darkness or curse the culture. But remember, all of this starts with reformation within the body of Christ. And if ever there was need for reformation, there is a need for reformation on the subject of sex. The younger generation in particular does not understand, by and large, why God has placed biblical parameters with respect to sex. They don't understand that this is not because He's a cosmic killjoy, but because He wants our joy to be complete. Oftentimes, when we talk about a biblical view of sexuality, the response is, well, that's hatred. That's bigotry. That's Bible thumping. We need to get beyond that and just love. And unfortunately, we fail to recognize all too often just how shallow those words really are. God's design for sex is an incredibly important resource. This is not, again, gratuitous. This is something that affects each and every one of us. in every facet of our daily lives. To join me in discussing this subject with you on this broadcast, Joe Dallas. He's the author or editor of many different books on human sexuality, including Desires and Conflict and The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. And as always, we're very pleased to have Joe on the broadcast with us.
Thanks so much, Hank. Great being with you.
This is a subject that we've thought about long and hard. Should we provide a resource to Christians that guide them into a biblically astute paradigm regarding God's design for sex? What do you say about this?
You made the right choice, Hank. I think it's critical to emphasize what you said earlier. We do need a moral reformation within the body of Christ. We certainly need to be making a proclamation to the culture as to what God's intentions are. But we cannot make that proclamation with integrity if we don't have a reformation first, because so long as we have significant numbers of born-again believers stepping outside God's intentions for the human sexual union, whether it's through the use of pornography, whether it's through different forms of fornication or unnatural behavior, why we're not going to be fit, really, to address the cultural problems that we see. And besides all of which, the most significant point I think you raised is the purpose of human sexuality, and it is indeed to glorify God. And so we have a mandate, as Paul said in the scripture you quoted, to glorify God both in our bodies and in our spirits. And so any material that's developed to help people do that, I say praise God, the time is now.
You know, there is a real cultural shift that has happened with vast rapidity. I mean, I'm looking right now at a front page article in the Charlotte Observer. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Front page, the article's titled Pride on Parade in Charlotte, Civic Leaders, Corporations Support City's First Gay Rights Parade in 19 Years. Another article's on Bradley Manning, who wants to live as a woman named Chelsea and begin hormone treatment as soon as possible. He's a soldier sentenced to 35 years in prison for giving government secrets to WikiLeaks. So you see these kinds of articles and you recognize, wow, our culture has gone through a dramatic transformation in recent years.
Oh, the shift is breathtaking, Hank. Just breathtaking. We have seen the gradual shift, of course, for decades, but the momentum gained even in the past 3 years really is astounding. And in a way, I tend to think, well, what do we expect? The world is the world. But on the other hand, I have to grieve over the direction this nation is going and over the lack of influence, even the diminishing influence the church seems to be having in the culture on these matters.
And one of the reasons, and you broached this in an article in the book, is that oftentimes, or the body of Christ oftentimes, does not know how to defend the biblical concept of family. And that's, again, an article titled The Family Quarrel, Defining and Defending the Biblical Concept of Family. The cultural debate over how to define a family has enormous significance. So let's talk about the biblical definition of family and what our obligation as Christians is to make that biblical definition known to the culture.
That is quite a mandate, isn't it? And I think it's one that believers feel, and I think at a gut level, most, if not all, believers have a sense, even a conviction, that a family is essentially composed of a mother and a father, a biological male and female united in marriage who have produced offspring. Now, that may also include, in different situations, children who are adopted. It may include children who are stepchildren. But essentially, throughout Scripture, we see the family defined as the product of a union and commitment between a man and woman within a heterosexual marriage. Now, I think most believers would affirm that, but there is something happening in the world around us, Hank, by which believers are essentially being called on to explain why oxygen matters. Now, most of us are not scientists. We would not necessarily be equipped to use the proper terms to explain why we need oxygen, yet we know that we do. And oftentimes, I think modern believers feel like they're in a similarly absurd situation when someone says, well, what's so special about a monogamous heterosexual union that either produces or adopts and watches over offspring? And yet, when challenged to articulate the rationale behind that, a lot of believers are stumped either because they don't feel they have the right words to explain it, or, and I think this is more common, Hank, they feel intimidated by the times. There is a tremendous wave of cultural contempt for those of us who hold the traditional view of the family.
The concept of sex, God's design for sex, what the biblical perspective on sexual practices within marriage is, why traditional values matter, the problem of pornography among Christians, all aspects of this resource, the effects of porn on the male brain, sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad, and much, much more. Again, the quickest way to get your copy is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because Western apologetics has placed far more emphasis on atheism than it has on Islam, many Christians know little about Islam and do not feel equipped to engage Muslims in dialogue. It should be encouraging, however, that successfully defending the gospel against Muslim objections is a rather easy skill to develop. Other topics include thoughts on Jason Collins' homosexuality and athletes, the great debate about English Bible versions, the original Fight Club, understanding the philosophy of Karl Marx, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Despite the abysmally poor track record of doomsday prophets, a growing movement emphasizing survival and preparedness in the face of anticipated widespread catastrophe has begun to garner mainstream attention. How should Christians respond to those who take prepping seriously? Are there theological ramifications? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and Matthew 24, New Light or New Hermeneutic. Is soul sleep biblical? Facing the Islamic Challenge, field-tested responses to 5 Muslim objections, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.